You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Today we're joined by children's songstress and storyteller Yuna. She is the founder of Yuna's Young Friends, a YouTube channel with stories and poems for young children which are written and performed by her. And Yuna joins us now to tell us a little bit more about her stories and what inspired her to start this YouTube channel in the first place. It is fantastic speaking with you today.
Thank you. Hello, it's lovely to speak to you too.
Well, Yuna, let's start at the beginning. What inspired you to start this channel in the first place?
I have been running my own activity group, you might call it, for the last year, called Yuna's Young Friends, which is in Broadstairs, England. In this group, I do singing, I do storytelling, and just physical and sensory activities that are then involved with creativity. And that began because I wanted to give children an opportunity to express themselves and be themselves before they have an opportunity to lose that with the impact of today's world on them. So then from that, one of the mothers in the group, she has three children, same age, and she actually once said to me that she thinks that my stories, which I used to record just for the exclusive WhatsApp group, should be available to everybody. And so from that, the YouTube project came up, which is Story and Rhyme Time with Yuna Rose.
That sounds amazing. And it's such a lovely beginning. And I imagine it was, how did the process go from that point, from just this initial idea to actually executing this and launching the YouTube channel? Was it quite easy?
I do have support with this. I have to put this out there. I don't actually do my own uploads. I know there are some wonderful programs out there, what with AI, but machines don't like me very much, and I don't like them very much either, to be completely honest. I was quite daunted at first. I was a bit like, but the stories are just for the individuals who are showing interest. It's a bit of a big step going out there for every single person when you don't know how they will interpret that. But I did give it quite a lot of consideration, and everyone was sort of so much for it and sort of said, well, if you don't try, you never know. So I started to record my stories, and I think what's nice is at the moment, except for a few requests here and there, they have all been stories for the Yuna's Young Friends WhatsApp group. It's been personalised for them at the moment, but then I'll be branching out into other more definitive concepts that will be relatable to all children at some point. You know, I'll have sometimes a child that says to me, you know, will you do a story about the Tooth Fairy? And I'm like, yeah, mentally noted. But I think what's very nice about the YouTube channel is it's helping people to relate. My story that came out last week, TJ and the Magic Sandcastle, that was a request from a father. Some of the children from my group, they were introduced to him randomly on a walk beside the beach. They were saying to him, oh, are you TJ from the Magic Sandcastle? And it was just such a lovely thing to hear about. And it makes it all worthwhile in the end.
And what age group are these stories appropriate for? Is it a wider age group, or is each story a little bit different?
I would say in terms of age group, predominantly, I guess one could say early years. But I am not exclusive when it comes to age, because I myself was a child who was young for their age. And I don't base it on necessarily age, but the individuality of the child. And, you know, it's okay if you are, say, for instance, 12 years old, but you are enjoying stories that a 6 or 7 year old would like. I think that it's important that stories are for anyone who wants them.
And what drew you to writing your own stories and also music?
I've always been very, very musical since childhood. I was always moving about in one way or another. I was always singing. And when I grew up, I was often telling stories, and sometimes I would get in a bit of trouble for them because they weren't quite what school wanted me to write and to conform to. But I've always enjoyed telling stories. I've always told stories to children since I was a child. And likewise with singing, because I did do performances and things like that growing up. I was very lucky to have those opportunities. But what's very, very endearing is when you have a child who is distressed and you are 4 years old yourself, you've then sung that child to sleep. So it all kind of went from there, really.
That's amazing. I can't even imagine having that level of maturity at such a young age to be able to calm down another child. That speaks a lot about your own personality, you know.
Thank you. I do say to, I mean, I have to be careful in the portfolio of writing this, but I say to everyone, working with children is not as simple as one would think. It entails as well working with energy, because we often misinterpret children's needs and children's emotions. It's not until we really put ourselves, bring our own energy down, put our energy on the child's level, because their energy is low at that moment rather than being the high energy that they usually are, to interpret what they're experiencing and being able to help them through that issue and that big emotion that they're going through. Like, it's like being in a storm. You're having to be and mirror the calm after the storm, so that they can then bring themselves back to that level as well.
Yeah, so I guess that's the big thing with children is they need our guidance because they're still not able to self-regulate and they don't really understand these big emotions. They're so overwhelming. Even we as adults, we get overwhelmed and we get angry, but for some reason that's fine for us as adults, but it's not fine for a child.
Exactly. And I say it to children all the time, to my young friends. I was with a 9-year-old last week and I said to him, I said, oh, it's okay. It's okay to feel angry and it's okay to feel sad, because it does not matter how old you are, you will still feel those emotions, and that's okay.
Now, I would love to know, what would you say is your favorite story so far that you have shared on your channel?
Definitely King Henry Visits Ben Nevis. It's around 15 minutes. Some of them are more like half an hour where you have to fit so much in. But then some of them are quite short, and especially the baby stories, I try to make them around 10 minutes, if that.
So that's perfect, because, for example, if maybe you want to listen to it at night time, it just makes for a really lovely bedtime listen, doesn't it?
Yes, a lot of my young friends do tend to use them for bedtime stories. And it's a wonderful thing when you're getting parents saying to you, bedtimes are a challenge in my house, but since your stories have come out, they get to bed okay.
Because I guess that's the hard thing when you grow up and you become an adult, you find giving the right emotion when you try and read a story can be a bit difficult. So sometimes having an actual storyteller do it for you really changes the game and makes it a lot more engaging, doesn't it?
It does. And I always say to people that we lose our creativity and we forget that. We forget those unique gifts that we were born with, because adult life just takes over. And I often use the analogy to my superstar grown-ups that if you imagine that your creative energy is a box, but as we get older, that box fills up with other things, starting school, starting college, getting a job, being in a relationship. And when one thing comes in, another pushes out that's no longer used. So in a sense, you lose what you do not use. It's a very funny thing. I have a friend who, she used to be very, very excitable when she was about 8 or 9, and she would read stories to children. Now, hearing her read to her child, you get very, very monotone. And I really don't want to be here. And you just think, wow, so much has happened for you to get from that to that.
I think in a lot of ways, as adults, we get a lot more self-conscious. I feel like children don't really have that when they're younger. They don't question why they like things. They don't question their own energy and excitement or why they like certain things over others. Whereas we, as adults, start to overthink even simple things, like trying to make a silly voice when you read a character becomes a little bit like, oh, that's embarrassing, I can't do that. But it's just you and your kid.
You know what? I often say as well, we think that we adults are the teachers, but really the children are, because we observe them. We observe them in play. We observe them in their learning. And what they teach us is, if they have no inhibition, if they want to do something, they'll just go with it. They don't care what it looks like. We adults then grow up with them. We have to get out of our own way, in a sense, because we overanalyze. I know I do. We overanalyze every little thing. Do I wear that? No, that might not go with those. No, that might actually not work. And we do that, but children don't care about that. They just pick it up and go, yep, that's what I want. I'm going with it. And if I don't, there's going to be a consequence.
I love how you said that, because I wore one of my favorite new shoes today. They have little cutouts in them, a little design, and you can see the sock, and I can see the red sock through it. And I'm like, oh, but that's not matching the rest of my outfit. But it doesn't really matter, because I like the sock with the shoes. I don't know why I'm stressing that it doesn't match my jacket. It's just a bit silly, isn't it?
What we have to ask ourselves as grown-ups is, I mean, we tell children, stop, look, and listen. We have to ourselves stop, think, and listen. And that is, what is our inner guidance telling us? Is this something that's going to make an impact on what we do? Is it going to make an impact on how we deliver to the rest of the world? Or is it only impacting how we perceive the world sees us? Is wearing something that might not go, does that mean that it stops what we do? Or is it just we're being ourselves and we're putting more store on what the rest of the world would think more than what we would think?
It's definitely food for thought, isn't it? Or just to question yourself. And you mentioned something at the beginning of our conversation where I think you said that part of the group you run, it was trying to engage with kids whilst they still have their creativity, they can still access it. How do you think your stories help children kind of keep expanding that creativity and maybe not lose it as they age?
Because stories and music, really, and any sensory linked activity, it acts upon children's emotions. So it's almost like a cause and effect type chain. You really have to just identify with what that need is, how it would link with that emotion. And by linking with that emotion, or with something that is relevant to that child, it continues to feed that ongoing need to learn. So in doing so, what we are doing is we are feeding that need for more information. And where they are then going through life, having to conform to societal expectations, if you will, I think that what stories and songs do is that they feed the child's own individuality, which enables them to continue to create and to use and practice those gifts based on their individual information, rather than being able to, having to fit the same mold as every other person.
I absolutely love that, Tina. And I guess something I would also ask want to ask about the stories themselves. They're obviously on YouTube, but we can really listen to them. We don't have to rely on necessarily on visual cues with these.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up actually, because I do have a lot of people asking me that. Yes, ostensibly they are audiobooks. They only have a video element purely just for the sake of being on YouTube, but nothing really happens in that video. There is a lot of access to screens, and what people don't think about, I personally feel, is that the use of screens is very, very high energy, and it doesn't allow the brain to bring that energy down and to your energy center to bring it down to a state where you can feel relaxed. Because my stories are quite low energy, so I start quite high energy, but then I bring them down, the energy level down as we then progress through the story. Children will say, I'm not tired, I'm not tired, I don't want to go to bed. But then, because the energy of the story is getting slowly and slowly more down to the center where we are talking like this, what that's then doing is it's encouraging the brain and the energy center to go into that state of relax that is needed for productive learning and for a good sleep.
That's perfect. And is part of the reason you, I guess, love audiobooks and storytelling? Because I know, I think you're registered. Are you registered blind or are you?
Yes, I am. Yes. Yeah.
Would you mind telling us a little bit, what's your sight condition?
My sight condition is septo-optic dysplasia, which in that there links quite a few different things for me personally. For instance, growth hormone and hormonal deficiency, which is why as a child I was very, very young for my age, but why creative stimulants was very, very important to me, and why I now feel it's important to give some of what I had, but also some of what I did not have growing up, to the children of today and tomorrow, so that they can then continue to use their gifts too. But I myself have always also loved audiobooks. I should have said that earlier, actually. I've always been an audiobook lover. Now, never without Audible. That's why it's important to provide that same source to children who perhaps don't get to experience that.
If you had to describe what impact audiobooks had on your life, what would you say?
I would say they opened up and expanded my world. We only get to, I think, as children, see so much of the world, and that's only what we are given access to, whether it's by parents, by education services, or other adults in our lives. And having an audiobook, it allows you to see things from different perspectives. And I think that nowadays that is something that a lot of children lose out on, where some of them Many of them, it surprises me. They don't even want to read a book. So the joy of reading and being involved and immersed in a story is now lost to many children. And I think it's important that they should be able to have that back because it adds to their world, gives them a new perspective, but also it gives them things to think about for their own creative play.
Well, Yuna, on that note, where can we find your YouTube channel? What's the name again, if you could remind us?
My YouTube channel is Story and Rhyme Time with Yuna Rose. You can also find Yuna's Young Friends on Facebook, also on X. Please feel free to email me if you would like a requested story or if you are in the Thanet area and would like to join Yuna's Young Friends. So you can find me on email, yunarose1017@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Well, Yuna, thank you so much for this lovely conversation and for sharing your passion for storytelling and song with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.